All right, and welcome back for the final hour of Cancel and Cabal here on Revolution Radio. And I'm also on PSN Radio, thanks to Angel Espino. I did want to mention once again right off the bat that we are listener supported, so if you like what we're doing here, please go hit that donate button. Yeah, Gavin, I don't know if you heard me right when the music started coming on, but the search I did for Gary McKinnon said he's a Scottish systems administrator and a hacker.
Yeah.
Who was accused in 2002 of perpetrating the biggest military computer hack of all time.
Wow. It shows you I'm not like, as much as I consider myself a hacker, I don't follow malicious hacks. I'm not like, I don't really pay attention to it until it presents itself to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, because I try to distance myself from that, but, you know, it is what it is.
Well,
if you're going to do something that big, prepare to deal with the consequences.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, if you're going to attack the system, you know, you're, well, I guess that old saying goes, if you want to play with a bull, you better expect to get stuck by the horn.
That's correct.
Yeah. But, yeah, Gavin, I was going to try to bring in Billy McGuire here, see if he's available, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is his. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and try to call him in. He's only got a cell phone. They've taken his broadband and taken his... oh, I don't want to do that. Okay. How do I do that then? Okay, I guess we'll try it like this.
Ringy dingy.
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello, Billy.
How are you?
Hi, this is Steven.
Hi, Steven.
Hi, we're on air. I guess you made it back home, didn't you?
I'm just in the door.
Oh, well, that's good. We're on Revolution Radio. We're on live, Billy. I thought we'd try to talk again.
All right. Whatever you want to say.
Well, how was your day today?
Very good. We had a commemoration in Holyford. It's sort of on the Tipperary border there with Limerick. Philip Shanahan. He was one of the... He had a very famous pub in Dublin, that was in Foley Street, and there were underground tunnels, as I told you, from, you know, from the Rotunda up to Vaughan's Hotel, and there were also tunnels that would have connected up the Foley's, and that's where a lot of the intelligence would be collected, you know, by the, you know, they'd go into the pub if they were watching Vaughan's Hotel or watching the pub. But anyway, they knocked the pub down, which is a bit disappointing. They put up a plaque there, but at least it's remembered. So, Jamie Shanahan, who would be a grandnephew, and there's a nice memorial there. Huge crowd of people, and lovely tea in the community hall in Holyford afterwards. It was a lovely event, and the day was lovely.
Yeah, it does sound. Well, Billy, I thought we would continue on with some more talking about the 19 the revolution of 1916 and the signing of the independent document of 1919.
Well, yes, we can. Whatever you want to ask me on that.
Unless there was something else you wanted to go into.
I did too much talking the last time, I was told. But no, it's all been airbrushed out, and the importance, as I gave the oration, as you know, at the GPO on Easter Monday, and you know, I said that first of all, the name of the state is the Sovereign Republic of Air, and what they were actually trying to achieve was a sovereign government, and that came from 1918 32 county election by the will of all the people in the And that's what was so important. And that election was, you know, at Vaughan's Hotel. And the 21st of January, then 1919, that's our Independence Day. So it was, that's what the, well, you know, the rising was one thing. That was the start. But the importance was to have a sovereign government. And that's what they achieved. And that's what the proclamation is all about. Sovereign government for the sovereign citizens. And as I said at the oration at the GPO on Easter Monday, that, you know, the crown of England is royalty, but it's the heart that is sovereignty. And you know, even America's sovereignty, it comes from that. And it should be looked into by all these, you know, great professors of history and all that. And, you know, Britain doesn't have a sovereign government. It has a royal government and royal courts of justice. And that's what General de Gaulle, he wouldn't allow Britain into the, what was the EEC at that stage, or the European Union, because they didn't have a sovereign government. And only a sovereign government can sit at the table in the European Union. And Britain doesn't have one. And they can say what they like, but 1155, you can go back and go back further than that. You can go back to you know, Jerusalem. You can go back to King David teaching the harp. And that's what he was teaching. The harp is the covenant between God and man with all the information and knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. And the sovereign seal then is Anno Domini 2016. But our sovereignty, we're a Christian, but it's a Celtic Christianity, which every child is born sovereign and has first four strings are earth, air, fire, and water, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. And every child is entitled to that. And your four strings, that harp with the four strings, is the first computer, you know, known to mankind. And it's God's greatest gift to mankind to build his civilization. And you can't build anything. The first string, it's the Om, it's the first structured language of mankind. The second is hieroglyphics. And if you go to Tutankhamun and all that, that's how they built the pyramids of Egypt. And you can see it across the lines, how you build. If you turn it up to the abacus, you know, the first string is the, you divide it, they divide it in two. Put down your Om stick, your light and shade. All mathematics, all science, all astronomy comes from that. All our civilization, whether you believe it or not, comes from that. I mean, the wheel, you know, for the Irish harp, you follow the circle round and the strings, they become the spokes, and the hub is that eye, and that becomes the hub of the wheel so men can travel the world. You, the ship, the curragh, which is the same as Tutankhamun, brought all those stone pillars down the Nile, how you construct that. The top of that is the blueprint for the strings become, you know, the latch for the sides of the ship, and that curved side is the keel of the ship for the Atlantic Ocean. But all that knowledge and information is there, and I think there's a shame, in especially in our 100th anniversary, that information isn't given out to, especially children. And I'd say every person, probably in the United States and every place else, they want their children to be sovereign and have that information. If you haven't got your sovereignty, you're a slave. And that's why it's so important. And I think it's so important that with Britain going to pull out of the European Union, whether they do or whether they don't, the point is that the sovereign government is that we have five governments, I said, and we have five constitutions in the state. But the sovereign government was 21st of January 1919 by the will of all the citizens of the 32 counties. And that's what's important.
Well, Billy, I wanted to mention also, this is the second hour of my show here, and the first hour, I still have a young man with me. He's about 34, I believe he said earlier, but looking at his name, I think he has a little bit of Irish somewhere in his background. I'd like you to say hi to Gavin McCall, if you'd like.
Hi, Kevin.
Hi, hello.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
You might be one of us, you think?
Yeah, I believe so. I've been called a mutt. I've been called a mutt.
We're every place. We say 70 million worldwide, and that was all from, you know, the Holocaust and the famine. And, you know, that's all part of the sovereignty issue as well. And Chris Fogarty. I don't know, Stephen, whether you're in contact with Chris Fogarty or not in Chicago.
I've tried.
Mary is Secretary of Friends of Irish Freedom. And James McGuire, he was chairman of Friends of Irish Freedom, who collected all the money in America for, the first sovereign dollar. And all the institutions were up and running on the 21st of January, 1919. And they're very important links. And Chris has written a marvelous book on the Holocaust. And in all that, those estates that were, you know, Britain for their empire, I mean, we suffered hugely from their empire, building their empire, because all the food, that's what all those estates were doing. They were taking everything out of the country to feed the Crown forces. And, you know, that couldn't be sustained. And eventually, that's what caused the famine. And they evicted all the people out of all the land. And these landlords took over. And I remember the landlords' estate. So that's what the Irish Republican Brotherhood did. You know, the Land League and all that. And if you read the Sovereign Constitution, the land of Ireland belongs to the citizens of Ireland and to them alone. And I was going to suggest to you that, you know, being the week it was, the 24th was the actual date of the rising. And I was going to suggest that you might read the 1916 Proclamation, which is an Irish Republican Brotherhood and Fenian Republican Brotherhood proclamation. And they put the tricolour flag up on the GPO in Dublin, you know, for 1916. And as I said, it was taken down by Dermot Lynch and was kept in Vaughan's Hotel. And the interesting thing, as I said the last time I spoke to you, was that all those, the tunnels that go up to from the Rotunda, where the Irish Volunteers were founded in 1913, by the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and that's how they brought the tricolour up, and that's how the Crown forces, they stopped them. That was the plan for the escape from the GPO, was to up Moore Street and down those tunnels, and you know there were several exits from those tunnels, and as I said the last time, they're very important. And it's taken 53 years for them to recognize and acknowledge that they're there. And as I said about the, you know, we asked that Vaughan's Hotel, which my family bought as the headquarters, would be, you know, because it's like a derelict building. And that's where Ogden Mahern, they're all claiming Ogden Mahern, but that's where Ogden Mahern was founded. Sinn Féin was the political wing of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And that's the mandate we were given, the Irish Republican Brotherhood. We were given the mandate of the 1918-32 county election to found the sovereign government and the sovereign Dáil Éireann and the sovereign Dáil Éireann courts and the War of Independence as a defence force. We don't go to war with anybody. And that Sinn Féin, all the Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and all the different splinters of Sinn Féin, they all come out of that Sinn Féin today, you know?
Yes, I do. Yes. Billy, I do have a question. Why do you think they called themselves the Irish Republican Brotherhood? Way back then? Why wasn't there just the Irish government or some other sort of characterization?
If you read the proclamation, they were only provisional government because they weren't elected, and all this you hear here. You hear the provisional government here saying, and you hear a lot of these people saying, oh, they had no mandate. They had a huge mandate. And the mandate was that when Sir Edward Carson founded the Ulster Volunteers in 1912, in 1913, they became the UVF Army. And as I said, Guinness's gave 100,000, Lord Rothschild gave 100,000, the Rupert Kipling gave 50,000 to buy those top-class German guns. And the British government colluded with that. And as a consequence of that, of what happened, the intelligence officers of the Irish Republican Brotherhood reported to the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood and they founded the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizens Army as a defense force in 1913. And that's where that came. And in 1914, the UVF Army declared war on Britain and Ireland if Home Rule was imposed by the British government in Ireland. And the British government capitulated to the UVF Army. And that's what happened. But they won't tell you that, you see. It's all this, they won't give you the facts and they won't tell you the truth. They won't tell you that it's only a provisional government here since the sovereign government was the 21st of January 1919 by the will of all the citizens. That's the mandate we have and we hold. And the mandate for 1916 is what I've just told you. And without those facts, you can't understand what happened in 1916 and you can't understand, the plans for 1916. And I gave all those Bones Hotel papers and memorabilia to the University of Limerick. But I gave them on the understanding that they'd be made public to the citizens and for all those historians who want to read them. No, they won't give them to anybody because they don't want it coming out that they're only a provisional government. In that Dáil Éireann has never sat in Leinster House. It is the Royal Dáil and the Royal Oireachtas that sits in Leinster House. And that comes from in George V on the 6th of December 1921, when he imposed a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an Orange Free State and a provisional government. And that's what we have today. And they can lie and cheat or do whatever they like or whatever propaganda, but they're the facts. But they don't want you to know the facts. And here, I have written a letter, I don't know whether you read it or not, to RTE, to the Director General, Noel Kern, to prove what they're saying. We get this thing all the time on television. Oh, Sinn Féin said this. Sinn Féin didn't say anything because Sinn Féin is the political wing of the Irish Republican Brotherhood. And then you'll hear them saying, oh, the government. And they should be saying the provisional government said that. They will not tell you the facts. They will not. And it's just causing confusion all the time. And whatever happens with the British, whether they vote or to go in or out, we have 5 governments, as I said. And we should be the best governed country in the world with 5 governments. And instead of that, we're the worst. I mean, it's scandalous here what's going on. And no matter what way, it's only a 26 county and 6 county. That's what King George imposed on the 6th of December, 1921. But on the 21st of January, 1919, our sovereign government. And his sovereignty, as I said before, comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the crown. And if you go back to 1155, and Pope Adrian gave it to Henry II to build his empire, you'll see the cause of the Hundred Years' War. And if you look up those symbols, you'll see the fleur-de-lis. That had to be taken down. And our sovereign seal is still up. And how could King George V in August 1919, he declared the Sovereign Republic of Ireland's Dáil Éireann government to be an illegal assembly. So who did he do a treaty with? You know, his own sovereignty. He was because he gets his sovereignty from the heart. And the whole thing is so complicated, but it shouldn't be complicated. If people told the truth and the facts, you can trace it right back. You can go back how far you want to go back. It's up to you. If you want to go back to Pope Adrian IV, or if you wanted to go back to the Roman Empire, and if you wanted to go back to Tutankhamun, who built the pyramids of Egypt, you can go back to King David, teaching all that and how to build your civilization. And you go back, as I said, the harp is the covenant between God and man with all the information and knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization. The sovereign seal then is Anno Domini 2016. The Christian, but it's a Celtic Christian. It's not a Roman Christianity. It's where every child is born sovereign and has a right to the first 4 strings, which are earth, air, fire, and water, man's intellect and reason, and his 5 senses. And that's 9 strings. And we have the sovereign Trinity. That's 12. And that sovereign seal is what makes everything legal, valid, and bona fides. And that's Britain's sovereignty. That's where that comes from. And America, as you know, they depend on Britain for their sovereignty. And you always hear the Britain talking about their crown lands. and in Canada and in Australia. That, but the crown is pomp and ceremony, and you know, the crown is not sovereignty. The sovereignty is the heart, and that's the difference. And I mean, you, to have crown lands and to the crown, you have to have crown forces to uphold that and to maintain it, and that, and that's what they do. But sovereignty is a totally different matter.
Well,
sovereignty is not the way.
Yeah, Billy, that's one of the things I wanted to ask. I think you mentioned earlier that every child is born sovereign, and then somehow from deception or manipulation, their sovereignty gets given away by others.
Yeah, that's exactly it, and that's happening every day of the week. And you know, these governments, they're selling out. Giving away those sovereign children. I think every parent you would probably meet would tell you that they want their children to be sovereign. They don't want them to be slaves, and they want them educated, and they want them all that knowledge and information. And I think that's the aspirations of every parent in the world. And that's where the harp is so important. And that's where the old Celtic Christianity came in, and that's what they were teaching. And it's in harmony, as you know, as I keep on saying, with planet Earth. It's all to do with planet Earth and how you look after your being and your well-being and your, you know, how you, you know, how you measure and all mathematics, science, how men learn to read, write, and all the technology that comes in today. I mean, it all comes from that. That's what it's about. But there, if you haven't got that, you're a slave, and a slave has no, I don't think there's any place for that. And good government is what we need. But if you look at the Crown of England, I mean, they rule. They, crowns always rule. They don't govern. They rule. And they can do what they like and do. And you see the awful things they've done, all those wars and that. You never carry the harp to war. That's what the Hebrew people did. And if you go back, as I said, to King David and that, that's what they did. That's what happened to them. And you have to be able to go back to and trace all those disasters. You take 100 Years' War, again, the harp was desecrated. Even here in recent times, in 2008, when the GAA took off the sovereignty and air off the medal, you know, the GAA is our organization. And that was the backbone of our independence, because they set up a GAA club in every little town and village in Ireland. And the people, they hadn't anything, guns or anything. The Hurleys were known as the Tipperary Rifles. That's how they drilled with those. And that's how we got our independence. But the GAA today, they're only interested in money. And you know, the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Republic, they're volunteers. We don't get any money. We don't have money, you know. But I think it's very sad. The Sam McGuire and the Liam McCarthy trophies are both Irish Republican Brotherhood trophies. And, you know, the tricolour flag, as I said, that's our tricolour flag, taken down by Dear McInch and kept in Vaughan's hotel, which was ratified. And as you know, when it came here by Thomas Francis Marr, it came with the orange nearest to the pole. It was ratified with the green nearest to the pole on 21st January 1919. And, you know, all that information from mankind, it's all there, but it's been deliberately kept from children and from parents to pass on that knowledge to children and that. And I think I think it's needed today in the sort of world and society that we have sort of evolved from.
I think it does also, Billy. I wanted to mention, I've tried to contact Chris Fogarty on Friday. I called his home and left a message, but I haven't heard from him yet. So I do want to contact him and get him on.
If you call him now, he's always there to listen. He's great, actually. And I told him, I contacted him. I was in Limerick. There's only one phone in Limerick now. As you know, they cut off my landline and they cut off my broadband and everything else. They don't want me speaking out like that, because, I mean, we only have a provisional government, and, you know, provisional government is ridiculous. We have a sovereign government, and that cannot be dissolved. And I've been telling everyone, I wrote to Simon Cove, I don't know whether you read the Simon Cove letter, John Pendleton reads up on the website. But, you know, just his father, Hugh, called me when he was in the OPW. He was on the instructions of the provisional government and the Taoiseach of the time, Dr. Vaughan Sertel, where the state was founded. I mean, did you ever hear anything like it in the whole? You know, and I'm very disappointed with the American ambassador, I can tell you as well. You know, when he came here, O'Malley, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, we invited him to the 21st of January, you know, when we turned the sovereign seal and claim our sovereignty. That's the sovereign government, the sovereign republic of Era. And I invited him, in all good faith, to that ceremony. And we got snubbed. And I registered the letter to him. And he never turned up. And I can tell the ambassador, if he wants to know, that the ambassador's residence in Phoenix Park, which is a very special residence. I mean, that's where the Aris is. It's opposite the Aris. I mean, it would be the most premier residence. And that was given to the Americans, you know, in thanks and in friendship for all they did for us setting up the Sovereign Republic of Era. And to be snubbed by the American ambassador here, I think is a disgrace. And I think it's shocking. And in 1916, 100th anniversary, and when we invited him, you know, that's not on, because they're, I'd like to ask him, where does the United States of America think they're getting their sovereignty from? It's not from the Crown of England. The Crown of England is getting it from the harp, from us, and they're getting it from the same place. You cannot go into other countries without sovereignty. And they should be asked that, and he should be asked that. And I think he'd no right to snub the Irish Republican Brotherhood or not recognize the sovereign government of Dáileann. That has never been dissolved, nor can it be dissolved by anybody. And we never heard from him anymore. You know, he's attended a lot of commemorations. And as you know here, the provisional government, they won't invite the Irish or Fenian Republican Brotherhood to any commemoration because they don't want it known that they're only a provisional government. And it's, you know, that's, you're better off to tell the truth and to say, well, we have five governments. And as I've just said, we should be the best governed state in the world when you have five governments all looking after you. But I found that, you know, America have been great to us over the years. And as I said, James McGuire, who was chairman of Friends of Irish Freedom, who collected all that money, we couldn't have possibly a little country like Ireland out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. And you are our nearest neighbors, you know, you and Canada. You know, from the other side. You know, that's not the way to behave either. And that peace and reconciliation process, that Good Friday Agreement, that was a disaster. I told you that, you know, when I lived down at, for the University of Limerick is now, I lived at Willibank. And that's where the university was founded. And the peace, reconciliation, and prosperity process was founded by the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood and by a lot of great people. And as a technological university, that young people would get a work ethos and how to, they weren't properly educated, they were going off. No education, no skills, nothing. And that was the idea for Limerick, Clare and Tipperary. But the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood used to meet, and the Fenian Brotherhood, Cumbernauld Man and the Fenian Union, all those organized, used to meet at Willibank. You know, after when my granduncle Tom, who coordinated the whole War of Independence and that, he was actually poisoned in 1925. But she lived on until 1932. She was there in 1932. And after that, my father couldn't cope with the businesses and everything. So he brought everything down to our businesses in Limerick and then later to Willibank. And, but the importance of the peace, reconciliation and prosperity process that they founded was that, it was predicated, first of all, the Queen's visit was predicated on a truth commission coming out of all that information would come out. And that took 10 years. The Earl of Harrington took his seat in the House of Lords with the Presbyterian people and Archbishop Eames. And that took 10 years to get permission from the IRB because the Gardiner Remembrance in Dublin, it's just opposite the, it's looking, Vaughan's Hotel looks out onto it. And that's the headquarters. And there's other, you know, for the Queen to lay the wreath there. Now, the Queen also has to, within 100 years, you know, was claiming the sovereignty, which is the heart. And all that was discussed. But the restoration of Vaughan's Hotel was, that was predicated on that, where the peace process would, and that's what Chuck Feeney put up his money for. And because in, after the second Dáil Éireann, that's where, the sovereign government handed over to the IRA, for protection of the sovereign government, in Vaughan's Hotel. And the only place that the IRA can say the war is over is Vaughan's Hotel, 29 Parnell Square and Granby Row. And all that peace and reconciliation process was put in place. And suddenly the whole thing was scrapped. And the money that I'm told that Chuck Feeney gave for that, he offered, as Brendan O'Regan told me, and Brendan O'Regan was very much involved in all that peace process, as was his brother, Father Paddy, who was the local curate, and his father, he was very involved. And so were a lot of people involved in that. But I think it's shocking to think that they got us Vaughan's Hotel, where the IRA would speak authoritatively and the peace process would hold it up. And all that is scrapped now. So it's all up in the air. And that Good Friday Agreement seemed to be all about all this property being bought up, gone into NAMA, which doesn't have a license to trade, and sold to the highest bidder. And I must say, Americans have bought an awful lot of that property as a knockdown price without a license. And whether they realize there's a license or don't have a license, but they don't, because all licenses are owned by the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and they're all legal, valid, and bona fides from the 21st of January to the 20th of January each and every year. And I think that's an awful mess we're facing into. And that's the peace and reconciliation and prosperity process which they scrapped in preference for the Good Friday Agreement, which isn't really a peace process at all. It's all to do with getting as much property as you can out of the state at a very low value and holding on to that. And that's not a peace process. And look at the wonderful peace process we could have. You know, we don't want to fall out with anybody. We don't go to war. But I do think people have a right to sovereignty and have a right to education. And I think you believe that too. That's the reason I'm speaking to you. And I must say, Vincent, you know, who's great, and Vincent Byrne, you know, his program over the years, you know, Vincent is one of the few people who really understand sovereignty and what it's about. And I think it's time that that was all brought back into the frame again.
Well, I think it's very simple, Billy. According to common law and natural law, there are really only 10 laws, the 10 laws of the Bible. And all of these provisional government laws, they characterize as either administrative laws or rules and regulations and policies. And they don't really serve anyone but the establishment itself and for monetary gain.
That's it. And absolutely. And is that what it's all about? And is that what we're witnessing today? And is anybody happy with it? No, I don't think they are. Especially young people. You know, they seem to be just thrown aside. They don't seem to count anymore. It's the corporation. And all those corporations that are here at the moment, there's one of them have a license. There's none of the banks have a license. You know, it's just unbelievable to think of it. They're trading away in nods and winks and all to be all right and do-do-do and you look after me and I look after you. It's all about greed. But you know what everybody thinks of children and their education or, you know, the sort of environment they're living in out of that. And what, look, as I say here, the one thing, we have a lovely country and we have good people and lovely people, Irish people worldwide, and people are good. Well, all we want is the sovereign government that was elected by the will of all the citizens of Ayr in the 1918-32 country. That's the only sovereign government that was ever established here. And that's what we want. And all this thing about King George V, because his own sovereignty was at stake and he couldn't do this, and we had to give our allegiance to the king. This was all afterwards. This was, I don't think you can go in and desecrate another sovereign country. You know, that's, there's always been a disaster. And I said here, and I mentioned that the 8th of September 2008, when the GAA took off the sovereign seal and they're off the medal, and I complained to them. I didn't tell anybody, of course. None of, all those young fellows here, I don't know whether you've seen hurling and football matches, they're quite exciting. And they all think they're getting an All-Ireland medal at the end of the year with Sam McGuire and the lift. But since 2007, there's been no All-Ireland medal. It's just a GAA medal, which is the symbol of the serpent. You know, who would accept that?
That's too bad.
You know, that is scandalous. And they're, you know, for the GAA, and they're only interested in money. And that's all it's about. And huge salaries and, you know, great pensions for themselves and all that. But what about those dedicated young people and players? They don't know that. They use our tricolour flag to sort of give it some sort of legitimacy. They never ask us. They never ask us. And again, last Sunday in Dublin, you know, we had a very good day. But at the GPO, our slot is always, we'll say, coming up to 12 o'clock, from 11:30 to 12 o'clock. The Irish Republican Brotherhood always get that, and the Fianna Brotherhood, because they founded the 1916 Rising. And we were over at the alcove of the GPO, and they had a stage in the middle of the O'Connell Street. And they had, Rowan O'Donnell was one of the historians, and no Rowan well. And they were, you know, running the event, and they had other people dressed up as common men and volunteers and all that, which they're all Irish Republican Brotherhood. We weren't even invited. We should have been invited up onto that stage and introduced to the crowd of people, which is a huge crowd of people in there, of the Irish Fianna. And they should have said that that's the Irish and Fianna Republican Brotherhood's tricolour flag that was put up on the GPO. And instead of that, as I told you on Easter Monday, they took away the flagpole for the Defence Forces, the way we couldn't rise it, our flag on it. And but the, it was back for last Sunday, the 24th, was the actual date. But there are two officers, they put up our flag without even, you know, they didn't even, we always hold the tricolour flag while the proclamation has been read. And that indicates that it's still the Irish Republican Brotherhood's tricolour flag that they brought over. And I think, you know, there's no, but the protocol, they just ignore it and they do what they like, and putting a gold braiding around it. That's a fourth colour. It's a British Admiralty gold braiding. That's a desecration. But to finish the one on the middle of the of O'Connell Street, and I went over to them and I said, you know, I think it was Tom Stokes, the person that was running it, we should have been invited up to that. No, we weren't. But we still, Christina read our proclamation and we raised our tricolour flag at 12 noon. And but they also read it as well on the stage. A lady dressed as Colin Wan. They sent over, I think, to one of the relatives to Leah Reid. Well, they shouldn't. You know, they're just snubbing the Irish and Fianna Republican Brotherhood. You know, it's dreadful to see it. And good luck then, pretending all over the world, the Defence Forces, and they wouldn't even wash Vaughan's Hotel or clean it. Simon Coveney refused it. And I think that's very sad to see that, what's going on. You know, that is the sovereignty, and that's the covenant. And I think it's always causing a problem. As I said, in 2008, on the 4th of September, when the GAA took off that sovereignty, then they're off that medal without telling anyone, not one of the county boards or anything about it. You saw what happened to the banks. You saw what happened to all those factories, all those houses, everything went here. And I said it before, to the GAA. I said, oh, no, there's so many mythology, nothing will happen. Well, everything did happen. And everything happened 100 years ago for the 100 Years' War as well. And every time the harp is being desecrated, something awful happens to mankind. And I think, you know, whereas people should think about things and they should try and understand about your being and understand the planet Earth that you're living on. You know, they're very important. And we seem to be ignoring all that at the moment.
Yes, we do. Say, Billy, I know we got about 15 minutes left here. I hope you can make a comment on what I'm going to mention here. Yesterday with John McCann, one of the other hosts on People's Internet Radio, we listened to a video of one of the European members of Parliament, Luke Flanagan. He recorded a little 11-minute video of him trying to explain to his constituents why he wasn't allowed to give any kind of information on what the EU is planning.
Which is the EU are a law unto themselves. They have gone, what we joined and what we thought we were joining in the EU didn't turn out at all. So they've taken over everything. It's just not on. It's too big and it hasn't been properly thought out, the European Union. It could be very good. There's no question about it that we all need to come together and we need to live. But the carry on at the moment is really unbelievable. I mean, I have land in Connemara, and to give you an idea of it, and I was hoping, I bought that land years ago to plant the Ohm alphabet and the Ohm, and restore the Ohm alphabet and the Ohm forest. The Ohm forest is very important, and to plant that there. And they were looking for people to plant up there in that part of the country. But the European Union comes on, and it designates all my land, ASI, NHA, and SAC, areas of national importance. And, it is a lovely area. There's no question about it. But it was all originally old forest land. You can still see the stumps of the trees there. And I was only trying to replant, the old forest again, the native woodland forest, and have the native birds and all the fish back again and everything. They're all gone. But I can't, on my own land, I can't plant a tree, cut a sod of turf, or have an animal on my own land. And I think that's unbelievable. But you don't get any compensation or anything for that.
Well,
it's just growing weeds.
Yeah. They're trying to do that same kind of thing over here, Billy. They're arresting people for gardens in their front yards. They're arresting people for saving rainwater. They're arresting people for doing a lot of things to try to be self-sufficient.
Isn't that what it's all about? That people are sovereign and people don't live like people live. Want they're right living, and so people live who are sovereign, they don't offend and they don't offend. They look after. The whole point is to look after the planet and to look after the earth and to look after all the. It's an effort on the animals, and they are all part of life, and to look after that's what you're here for, and that's what we do. But we're not allowed to do it because Europe says no, for some reason we don't know. I think it's just trying to put in, that they're the bosses and you have to do what they say,
No harm, no foul, right, Billy?
Yeah, and that's what it is. But I think it's shocking to see it. And I mean, as for education and that, we never hear. We don't know what's going on in the European Union. We send out these people. They never report back to us. We don't really know what the European Union is doing or what it's about. And they don't tell us either. And they seem to be able to seem to do what they like. And this is the thing about sovereignty and that. Joint sovereignty. You can't have joint sovereignty. A state, you either have sovereignty or you don't have it. And that's why Britain is in this quandary about her sovereignty. And that, whatever way Britain does, it's royalty what Britain has. We know that. The sovereignty it doesn't have. And that's what they're relying on the heart. And they're relying on us for that. And that's why I said they got in under our sovereign government of the 21st of January 1919. And that's what General de Gaulle allowed them in under. And they can say what they like, and that's how they got in. And now they're going out, and David Cameron said, the people in Britain are sovereign. You can't be sovereign and subject to the crown at the same time. So which is it? And if they go out, what are they going to be? We have seen that over the centuries. We've always had to take second place to them. They took all our land, they built all these huge their landlords, and it's all pomp and ceremony, and took all the food and evicted all the people. That's why we have 70 million people worldwide. They were all evicted by the British. So that's no way to carry on. And I don't think people want to see that sort of carry on again in the world, about a crown can evict people from land, and they can enslave you, they can send you to war, you know, and that you've no say, you're only a subject. That's not what people, sovereign citizens don't live like that. You know, they live and they appreciate planet Earth, they appreciate how they go, and their five senses, and right living, and you know, what life is about.
Yes, indeed.
And that's what we're hoping. That's all we want. That's what we're hoping. Sorry, Steve. That we'll have our sovereign government of the 21st of January back again. It's never been dissolved, nor can it be dissolved. And if you look here at our legal system here, you know, as I said about the five constitutions in the state, and you know, Michael D. Higgins is under the Crown of England, and those judges that are sitting up in the Dáil Éireann courts as they were on the 21st of January 1919, and when you go into those courts, you see the sovereign seal and era up underneath, and all they're doing is taking the era away and giving us sort of a couple of strings, the squiggly things. That, you know, that's a desecration of the sovereign seal. And those judges cannot hear. Have you seen the sovereign constitution? You can download it from BillyMaguire.com anyway if you haven't.
I have seen it, yes.
Well, those judges cannot hear a case under the sovereign constitution. If you were saying, because it's never been dissolved, and only a judge that's been appointed by the president of the Irish Republican Brotherhood can hear that case. And those judges that are evicting people out of their houses at the moment are appointed by Michael D. Higgins, and he's appointed them under the Crown. And all you've got to do is look up Saoirse Era, and you'll see it on Saoirse Era. And Bulwer Hobson, who I knew very well, and who taught me a lot about the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, and taught me about all that to see, he did the official version of that. It isn't just me saying it. You can read it yourself. And you can see what they did on the 6th of December, 1921. You know, it's there in black and white for anybody who wants to read it. But that's another betrayal. And it's betrayal of our sovereignty and about our rights. And that's what people are, you know, that's what causes all the conflict. You know, that's what's causing the conflict. People have rights, and they should be upheld by governments, sovereign governments, and they should be upheld by the law. Instead of that, they're only interested in looking after the corporations and trying to collect as much tax as they can from everybody. And they couldn't care less whether you can pay. I see it here about water and that. But I claim earth, air, fire, and water every year at the Mansion House. Dáil Éireann sat in the Mansion House. That's the only place Dáil Éireann has ever sat. It never sat in Leinster House. And that's the sovereign government on the 21st of January 1919. And that's where it sat. And let anyone go out there, the facts I've given you. Whereas the Royal Oireachtas, the Royal Dáil, and the Royal Senate, that's the Royal Oireachtas. That sits in Leinster House, that was appointed and imposed by King George V as a British apartheid system for the 26 and 6 counties of Ireland as an Orange Free State and a provisional government. And they can say what they like, but they're the facts. And that's what the provisional government is here. And I've been asking these politicians, I hear it again today, some members of Fianna Fáil, oh, Dáil Éireann. And I asked RTE to prove what they're saying is correct. If you read that letter, Don tells me, our secretary, that it's up on BillyMaguire.com to Noel Curran, Director General of RTE, and I'm asking them to prove what they're saying is true. They kept on telling those politicians that were being in the election that they were being elected to Dáil Éireann. How can they be elected to Dáil Éireann when Dáil Éireann has never sat in Leinster House? And Article, 21, All money matters. All money bills must come from dollar and only. And how can you get all this money matters from dollar and only when it never sat in Leinster House? And if you look at Article 4 and 5, the De Valera's 37 Constitution, which they say they're upholding, there's no the word republic isn't, he wasn't allowed to put republic in it by the Crown of England, included with the Crown of England. There's no republic in it. He said the Article 4, the name of the state is there. The name of the state is the Sovereign Republic of Era. And yet it's left out. So how are those judges under the Crown? This is what they're doing. And they should be held accountable for that. They should explain it. And they should explain to the citizens what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they should explain. Who dissolved? Who would you ever ask them? Who dissolved the sovereign government by the will of all the people in the 1918 32 county election? And that was ratified on the 21st of January 1919 by the Supreme Council in Vaughan's Hotel. And in the cabinet room by the Supreme Council of the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and by the Sovereign Republic of Ayr, Sovereign Dáil-Éireann government in the round room in the Mansion House on the 21st of January. Who dissolved that? Nobody has the right to dissolve Dáil-Éireann. And on RTE, they came out and they said, oh, Enda Kenny is dissolving Dáil-Éireann, and he's going to the Oras to Michael D. Higgins to dissolve Dáil-Éireann. Michael Higgins doesn't have the right to dissolve Dáil-Éireann. He's under the Crown. He can maybe dissolve the Royal Dáil and the Royal Rockets, but we don't know about that. But and it should be asked. If you don't ask the questions, we're never going to find that. We're never going to get the answers. And here they won't allow. The newspaper will interview me. And RTE won't interview me either, but I have it written down now, and you can read those letters yourself if you can download them. And wait till we see the answers, we'll get to them. And sure, will be, and wait, sorry, we'll see the answers we're getting from the Crown of England. Where are they getting their sovereignty from? Where's the Crown of England? Crown is royalty.
Yes.
And well, the half is the sovereignty.
Yes. Well, Billy, I found it very interesting that, the member of the European Parliament for the Irish, Luke Flanagan is trying to expose this, and they're just pretty much stifling him. They're gagging him, if you will.
They are, and are. And they, look, I wrote to the European, I thought, you know, it would be great, I'd write to them. And I'll write to them about my land and all that. That's at all. They just ignore you. And there's no way you can even complain against, you know. They can do what they like. And they are doing what they like. And that's what they're doing here. And that's what all these, you know, nobody here says stop. Because when there's money and greed involved, everybody here just goes for the money.
Yes, it does.
And all those corporations and everything else, they haven't got a license. Yet they can still trade away here. Because it's a nod and a wink. If you put money in the right place, that seems to open all the doors.
Yes, it does. Well, Billy, it's almost 10 p.m. over there for you, so the show is over here in just about a minute, so I would like to thank you for coming back on again.
Well, thank you very much for having me. And as you know, I got in the door from Tipperary. We had a great day. And thank you very much. And I hope it's of interest to people in America, you know?
Yes. Well, it is, because it shows the correlations of the provisional government over here. There are actually people that have been elected in our American real government, and they're not recognized also.
And we used to depend so much on America, you know, for help and everything else, but sure, we can't depend anymore, you know, since we've gone all, it's all money, European, all over the place, you know. It is a sad, as I explained there about, you know, we're depending on America for our support. And now we seem to be let down on every occasion. And it's very sad to see. There's no need for that, I think, you know.
No, I don't believe there is. So, thank you again, Billy.
Thank you very much, Stephen. And good night to your guest. And good night to your listeners.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Billy.
Oh, sorry. He is gone. Well, that is basically it here. I probably should be hearing that music about any time, Gavin. So I thank you for coming on the first hour.
Oh, thanks for having me.
It was a little difficult to listen to him, but very, very interesting, that's for sure. And he's not a spring chicken anymore. He's pushing 80 years old, so.
Wow, he sounds young, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, thanks, everyone, for coming out. I should be hearing that music at any time. And there it is. Thank you, everyone. And see you next week.